UCSB's English department offers multiple major specializations for undergraduates. From medieval literature to American cultures, these specializations give students a focus in their courses and allow for in-depth research work alongside faculty. One of the specialties is literature in the mind, where the questions of human nature and literature intertwine. I spoke with Henry Bernard and Bailey Rosie, two third-year English majors specializing in literature and the mind.
The English department has several major specializations, and one of them is called literature and the mind. What does this specialization mean? For someone that's never heard about this, what's it all about?
So literature and the mind, to explain it simply, is the relationship literature has with our own mind. It's kind of the idea of theory of mind in the way that we interact with one another and how we predict one another. And in that way, us learning how to talk to other people and read other people helps us evaluate ourselves. And then we can make predictions about society. So Lit in Mind really studies the relationship literature has with theory of mind, the predictability and the study of character and what that says about our own mind and our relationship we have with the world and self.
Absolutely. And if English is about the questions of what does it mean to be alive and what does it mean to coexist with other people, Lit in the Mind is specifically a focus on those questions. We hold those to be some of the highest points when we're reading or writing. And so it's just about other minds and our mind. And intersubjectivity is a very big topic for us, which we can go into more depth later. But that's our topic for the next couple of years, our research topic.
All right, so you mentioned intersubjectivity. Let's get right into it. A lot of people think, English, it's just with the words and it's just with analyzing literature. But it's more than that, right? I mean, especially literature in the mind, I'm guessing it goes with, psychology, neuroscience. What's intersubjectivity about?
Of course. So intersubjectivity is the study basically of how we interact with one another, how we place other people in situations in life, how we imagine them and how they imagine us and how we imagine they imagine us. So it's kind of that complex relationship of trying to imagine someone else's life when you're living your own life individually. And that's why it's intersubjective, because you're the subject, but at the same time, you're trying to understand other subjects and travel into their space, which goes into psychology because it's very literally the study of understanding other people's problems as much as the good things in their lives. It's just the relationship we have with each other.
Right. And an intersubjective space is the space in which two people meet. For instance, during conversation, you form an intersubjective moment, which is when, as Bailey was talking about, we have two subjectivities and they're coming together and it becomes a third or something more than that, which is basically just the connections we have with other people. And what happens when, although your mind is isolated and you can't know another person's mind, what happens when you engage with them in a particular moment and you become greater than your own isolated selves? And in a way, that's what intersubjectivity is all about.
Literature gives you an entrance to another person's mind? Is that what you're
saying? I mean, the idea is that when you're reading a book, obviously there's a plot line, there's book characters. It's the same thing every time you read it, except there's an ability to foreshadow in novels and to really see characteristics growing in people. And that way we are able to predict what's going to be the outcome of the book, and then actually being able to analyze that really condensed situation of what does happen. It's just a way to understand people's plot lines. And in that way, it's supposed to help us with our own theory of mind. As in, when you do read a lot, when you do encounter characters in books and you have perceptions and ideas about them, you can take that into your own life and take that into your own ability to have intersubjective space with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And the capacity to imagine and to immerse yourself within a literary text and to come to know those characters, we believe that in real life that translates into greater empathy as imagination, being able to understand other people, being able to understand the meaning of yourself in life and their life, and then the blending of that as you interact. And we just believe that through reading, you can really, pick up some of those skills that are hard to otherwise acquire.
Understand the world in situations you might not find yourself in reality, but in the novel. And in that way, you feel like you still experienced it.
And there have been several studies over the past few years that reading fiction increases empathy, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're very empathetic people, right?
Yeah, I would say so, most of the time. No, but I'm a firm believer in that, because when you're reading a text and you have to imagine those characters, it's all about imagination. And so when you think about empathy, it's basically imagining what their life is like, what it's seeing life through their eyes, and that takes imagination to put yourself in their shoes, as the common expression goes. That's all about imagination and reading, reading more than anything, really.
I'm just like, I'm thinking of examples. The one I'm thinking of, you literally said being in someone else's shoes, is To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a book a lot of people have read. It's very literally about learning to be in other people's skin, and to understand that you might not fully get their narrative, but that they are human and they have their own stories. And that way you can rationalize how to be in the world with other people when you don't have the full story.
Yeah, when you take the scope of the world and all the different people out there, our outlook is essentially limited unless you start reading and you start experiencing other stories and other characters, and it gives a voice to the voiceless, and it gives you an understanding of the different aspects of life that you wouldn't have if it wasn't for that capacity to imagine and empathize through literature.
What makes Literature in the Mind courses unique? Is there a special reading list that you do? What makes a book apt for the specialization?
I'd say any book that really deals with the reevaluation of character and the reevaluation of self because of what happens with other people. It's such a broad question. There's so many books that fit into that spectrum. We read a lot of Jane Austen novels, and we watch comedies. Like, it's a lot of different things that really deal with just the change in individual.
Yeah, I would almost say that any text is, it's just a matter of the way we approach it. We approach it through, we use theory, so psychoanalytic theory, and we will read that and then apply literature to see how that fits in order to get a better understanding of both.
I also think the professors are really unique. They really are invested not only in the text, but how we're interacting with the text, and in that way, even our experience with the text is intersubjective.
Absolutely.
Because we're working with the author, even though a book could have been written 300 years ago.
That's a good point. Yeah, the intersubjective relation that you have just with the text is really important. And also to second that, on the faculty, they're really amazing. And we just have a very unique group of people that have come to Santa Barbara, UCSB. It's actually a very unique program. I don't think the specialization exists, I think we started it here. And so just those intersections of that, and Kay Young is our mentor, and she is amazing. A lot of people take the English major just to take classes with her, and that's probably what got us into it as well. But just the way she teaches, it's so she's so conscious of other minds and of the students, and so when she teaches, there's a connection between student, between teacher, between text, and a whole community is formed, and that's what's it's magical.
You had many specializations to choose from. Why did you personally go into Literature in the Mind?
I personally went into it without even knowing. I just ended up taking a lot of classes involved with that. But I think what really draws someone to Lit in Mind has to be the interest in the other. You know, we talk about the other in quotations in English a lot. The idea of maybe something you don't understand, whether that be a person or a theory. Like, there's this otherness about Lit in Mind that we're always trying to kind of cross over to. And there's the impossibility of getting there that makes it kind of more exciting. I think you have to love reading too. There's so much reading. That's good.
Given today's climate, you know, social climate, political climate, why do you think it's important for people to read literature, to read meaningful words?
I'll be quick, but I'm going to get a bit preachy here. So I want to be a high school English teacher. That's kind of my goal, maybe even a professor. And I think there's this really horrible idea that English isn't necessary anymore. The idea of Common Core being introduced into schools nationally, just statewide right now, but potentially the entire nation doing this idea of Common Core. people don't realize how necessary it is to be able to understand other people's stories and take that for what it is and not use that against them. And in that way, by having our own stories, we have justice. I think one of the biggest reasons justice has been so questioned, especially recently, is that there's no emphasis on the fact that we all have stories. And then in that way, people don't appreciate that. I think that everyone's free to have their own opinion politically, economically, socially. But I think English is so important. Lit in Mind is so important because it really helps you rationalize the fact that you don't know everyone. And then everyone is able to change and has been affected by what's happened to them. And in that way, I think you are giving them justice. Yeah, everyone is free to their own opinion and you shouldn't hate them for that. I think that's why there is so much hate, is because we don't put enough emphasis on the study of literature, especially in high school.
Seconding that, it's about broadening your horizons, broadening your perspective. I think a huge element of English and the humanities as a whole is being comfortable with ambiguity and uncertainty, not being able to know everything, but trying. So still seeking and still searching, but being comfortable with difference, being comfortable with grayness. So not black, not white, the in-between that as humans we find ourselves countering all the time, being able to be okay with that and be comfortable with that, and to still to search, to use that as to your advantage, as a point of immersion to seek through that and to be all right with that, is very important. And English is essentially about our humanity. So the way we exist with one another, the way we exist with ourselves and the world, I personally think that the world's condition is dependent on the way we treat each other, the way we empathize, the way we imagine. The way we imagine what the world could be is fundamentally important to making it what it could be, what it is.
I was just going to say, we need to start being more comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. And I think literature helps that because part of it can be so ambiguous and out of your control.
I hope you came prepared for this next question.
Oh, God.
Okay. Top three books.
Oh, God.
That's a good question. Okay. I love it.
I'll start. I'll try. I would say the first, or I would say Middlemarch by George Eliot, which happens to be a literature in mine class. Actually, it's a seminar Kay Young teaches, but it's basically a 10-week intensive study on the book Middlemarch, which was written. It was written in the 19th century. I know that. Do I have to explain why it's my favorite book, or can I just say that?
You better explain why. I think everybody wants to know.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone wants to know.
Everyone wants to know. I'll leave it simply as, you are capable of not just anything at 21, but everything. I think it's the age of complete blossoming. I think that's where you really develop into who you're going to be. That is the defining part of life. Not that you can't change, but you know, it says a lot about being at this age, having so much freedom and capacity to change our minds and to move in directions we didn't expect.
I think I remember a quote from that novel, if this helps. I think George Eliot says, why do we exist if not to make the world better for one another, to make life easier for one another?
Yeah, and that there is no speck more troublesome than self. We are the ones that hold ourselves back more than realizing that we can do anything and that we can pass boundaries that we didn't even know was possible, even if it's as simple as apologizing to someone.
Number two
is a collection of poetry by W.B. Yeats called The Winding Stair. It's just really great and metaphysical and really gave me comfort in being uncomfortable with my own political beliefs and feelings on life. And what is my third? I want to say, I'm just going to go back and throw it to a classic. Can I do four? Am I allowed to do four? And you can pick which one you like better. Okay.
You can do four.
The first is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It's a great book. It's from the 1980s, I'm pretty sure. So it's not that old. A lot of like young people read it now, I think. I read it when I was in seventh grade. And that's the book that made me want to be a writer and an English major. So that's why it's so impactful on my life. Not necessarily that it's the most elevated novel on the planet, but it's definitely important to me.
Wait, what do you mean by elevated?
It's not a bad... I'm being funny because Henry hates this book.
Whoa. I don't hate the book. It's just, it's not really... It's not high literature. It's not written very well.
No.
It's not written very well.
It's written... simply.
It's very simple. It's very simple.
Simple.
It is beautiful in how simple it is, yes. But I think that life is... very complex. And so I just like more complicated.
This is my book time. I'm going to interrupt your book time next. And then the last one I will say is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee Fisher. Even though everyone's read that, I think that book has taught me everything about justice and what it means when justice doesn't happen and how we can still survive from that and learn from that, even though it is such an atrocity. There is life after pain and extreme dismissal.
For me, my favorite is Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. I love Cormac McCarthy so much. He's my favorite author beyond having three books. He's just my favorite author. So, but he's amazing. He's just, the way he uses language, it's so visual and it's so deeply discomforting. It's just amazing the way he writes about nature as well and the images that he generates. And his language is truly beautiful. He's a poet. My second, I really like a guy named Edward Abbey. And he has this book called Desert Solitaire, which I really love. Just, I think you can judge a book by the quality of the author's mind. And so just knowing the quality of his mind and the amount of passion that he puts into his prose, it almost bleeds through the pages. This is, quote, right in blood, and I feel like he does that. And then third, just one that probably more people know, Moby Dick by Herman Melville. Ailey doesn't like that one. See, we disagree with The Alchemist and Moby Dick, but I love Moby Dick just because of the way it's written is incredible. I don't think, sometimes I read that book and I don't think I could have written a single sentence as well as he wrote it. And just the epic proportion of the way it builds and the suspense. And some people say there's a lot of boring parts, but he just really covers every intricate aspect of whaling, even the things that you don't want to know.
Even though it's fake and he made it all up. But I like John Green, and
Looking for Alaska. Say? Looking for Alaska is an amazing novel.
I'm not trying to be.
I cried.
Is there some last thought, idea, snippet you would like to add?
Yes, of course. Always. I'd like to say that it's quite an honor to be here representing the Litton Mind. One, the English major is pretty overlooked in general, considering that it's not a huge part of this campus, population-wise. There's only about 500 of us, I believe. And two, that it is really unique that we have specializations and different things that you could get into. I know one's environmental fiction, and we have technology fiction. We have different things that are so important. And Lit in Mind has really defined my time here as an English major. It's defined my time as a student. And I'll leave with some parting words that I heard from Kay Young in a Lit in Mind lecture, which is perplex the darkness. I think that's really what we're here to do. Our lives are confusing. Our relationships with people are confusing. None of it's ever going to be easy, but a lot of it can be happy. And we can really transform ourselves and transform the world by just realizing that we are bigger than it in many ways.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's hard to follow that up.
No.
I think I'll probably end with some quotes because I'm an English major, typical. But Cormac McCarthy has a quote, "For things at a common destination, there's a common path." And you just have to think about what that means to you. But for me, just admitting to what you can't know and leaving room for some magic or kind of that childhood curiosity to grow and blossom and bloom, I think that's really crucial to humanity and to living a fulfilled life, a full life, and achieving a vitality and just a really pertinent sense of aliveness. It's really crucial. There's another quote by Luis Cernuda that goes, "You justify my existence. Not knowing you, I haven't lived. If I die not knowing you, I'll never die because I haven't lived." And so that's really about love. I think love is a pretty beautiful thing, and we need to all love each other a lot more. And what better way to do that than by seeking to understand difference in a more comprehensive way through literature? And Lit in Mind has been that community for me and for Bailey, obviously, that has allowed us to come into ourselves by coming to know the other people that are around us and that are passionate as we are, and just finding people that you can grow with and help them grow as well. And I think community is really important, especially at a time right now. Community is what the world needs and what every individual needs, what every campus needs. Yeah. Find your people and spend time with them, getting to know them and empathizing with them and understanding their stories. And through that, come to understand your own story more. Read books.
Read books.
Kids need to read books.
Books.
Lots of books.
Books, books,
books. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
We can finish with a little rap.
Yeah.
No.
About books.
You have a rap? You know a rap about
no,
books?
No, I don't. Do you?
We can freestyle about books.
No, that's not my forte. I'm very serious.
Say a few words, Bailey. Introduce me.
This is Hen Hen.
Okay, this is a ridiculous rap about Lit in Mind for everybody out there so that hopefully you guys can better understand what Lit in Mind's all about. The beauty of literature is hard to find, but if you have the time, turn to Lit in Mind. Through our relations, and we use our imagination, take a vacation and understand somebody else's station in life. Because we all experience strife, we all have felt the cutting knife of hatred, but how better to live than to be with other people, to be with kids, to understand their curiosity and innocence, to take the time, to take a chance, to love one another, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, and everyone else, and hopefully to find help for those that need it and those that are depleted by the relentless march of life. That's our wrap.
Henry, that was so impressive. What the hell?
That was really good.
We have pizza parties every quarter. If you're interested in being a part of those pizza parties.
Cheese pizza?
Yeah, and pepperoni, and it's all from PMH.
Gluten-free pizza?
There's no jars, though. But if you're interested in coming to these pizza parties and discussing literature with us, please email me at baileyrossi@yahoo.com, baileyrossi@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Henry and Bailey, thank you for talking with me today. Thank you for coming down to KCSB.
Thank you.